Indiana by George Sand. Translated by George Burnham Ives. Introduction. I wrote Indiana during the autumn of 1831. It was my first novel. I wrote it without any fixed plan, having no theory of art or philosophy in my mind. I was at the age when one writes with one's instincts, and when reflection serves only to confirm our natural tendencies. Some people chose to see in the book a deliberate argument against marriage. I was not so ambitious, and I was surprised to the last degree at all the fine things that the critics found to say concerning my subversive purposes. Criticism is far too acute. That is what will cause its death. It never passes judgment ingenuously. It looks for noon at 4 o'clock, as the old women say, and must cause much suffering to artists who care more for its decrees than they ought to do. Under all regimes and in all times, there has been a race of critics who, in contempt of their own talent, have fancied that it is their duty to ply the trade of denouncers, of purveyors to the prosecuting attorney's office. Extraordinary functions for men of letters to assume with regard to their confrères. The rigorous measures of government against the press never satisfy these savage critics. They would have them directed not only against works, but against persons as well, and if their advice were followed, some of us would be forbidden to write anything whatsoever. At the time that I wrote Indiana, the cry of Saint Simonism was raised on every pretext. Later they shouted all sorts of other things. Even now certain writers are forbidden to open their mouths under pain of seeing the police agents of certain newspapers pounce upon their work and hail them before the police of the constituted powers. If a writer puts noble sentiments into the mouth of a mechanic, it is an attack on the bourgeoisie. If a girl who has gone astray is rehabilitated after expiating her sin, it is an attack on virtuous women. If an impostor assumes titles of nobility, it is an attack on the patrician caste. If a bully plays the swashbuckling soldier, it is an insult to the army. If a woman is maltreated by her husband, it is an argument in favor of promiscuous love. And so with everything. Kindly brethren, devout and generous critics, what a pity that no one thinks of creating a petty court of literary inquisition in which you should be the torturers. Would you be satisfied to tear the books to pieces and burn them at a slow fire? And could you not, by your urgent representations, obtain permission?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?